Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today, this is the second Sunday in the season of Lent, is our epistle lesson. Book of Philippians, chapter 3, beginning at the 17th verse. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, the last verse of today's epistle lesson, St. Paul, led by the Holy Spirit, writes these words. He says, So then, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, beloved. Of course, that raises a question. In what way? In what way stand firm in the Lord, beloved? Now, the answer comes to us in many places in Scripture. It also comes to us in a hymn that puts it beautifully. You know the hymn. It says, my hope is built, in other words, it is standing firm on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, no matter how good it looks, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. In other words, everything is less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. All other ground is sinking sand. And nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness gives you a lasting hope before Almighty God. Nothing less than that gives you a firm place to stand. Now, in my Bible, the third chapter of Philippians has a title over it. It says, The Goal of Life. The Goal of Life. Now, we often talk about goals, but generally speaking, we talk about goals in life, goals that we have in our time that we have here on earth, and those goals will often reflect our age or our maturity or our understanding of life. When we're younger, of course, we want to what? We want to do well in school. Or we want to have friends, or we want to make the sports team, or we want to get our license. And as time goes along, we may want to pursue a certain career, or have a spouse, or children, or we want to live a productive life, have a productive life's work. Then at a certain point, we say, you know, I want to retire. I want to enjoy the fruits of my labors. A lot of people talk that way. We talk that way as well, too. We talk about the goals in life. But if you're a Christian person, you recognize and you realize that such goals in life are confined. They are confined to this life or by this life. These are goals that don't pass beyond the boundaries of this life. These are goals that, if you're honest, many a time don't even last in this life, as brief as it is. We talk about the goals in life, and yet they're confined. But who talks about the goal of life? Who talks about that? Well, we know of one person who did. St. Paul did it. He did it in Philippians chapter 3 in today's lesson, actually right before today's lesson. And this is what he says. He says, I want to attain to the resurrection of the dead. He says, that's the goal of life. And then you get to today's lesson, and he further defines it. He says, because our citizenship is in heaven. Now, if you have a passport, your passport says that you are a citizen of the United States, but a Christian person, even if they have a passport, also has something else, another passport before Almighty God, When you are baptized, the passport says you are a citizen of his eternal kingdom. And that's great, because unlike this world, and like we say in the Lord's Prayer, in everlasting life, God's will is always done. God's will alone is done. And think about an amazing thing that is when you compare it to this life, when so many other wills are accomplished and done other than the Lord's. But that's not the only thing. St. Paul also says this. He says, I want to attain to the resurrection of the dead because we will be transformed there in that new life that God gives us from our humble state, and we will be transformed to be like our Lord Jesus in his glory. And you may want to think of the time when he was transfigured and he shone as bright as the sun. I want to attain to the resurrection of the dead. St. Paul had been taught that as a child. He knew that. He knew that was the goal of life. And not only that, he had something that was really good. He had almost like a treasure map. A treasure map to show him how to get there, how to get to that goal. A treasure map that if you followed it step by step by step, it would lead you to the goal of life. It would lead you to the resurrection of the dead. It would lead you to the life of the world to come, to citizenship in heaven, to be transformed into glory. And years later, St. Paul would describe that treasure map, and he does it also in Philippians chapter 3. And he said, here's the treasure map that I had to gain the goal of life. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm of the nation of Israel. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, I'm a Pharisee. I follow the strictest people of my people. As to zeal, I was a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness, which is in the law, I was found blameless. There was his treasure map. The treasure map said, observe the ceremonies. Have the right heritage. Be thorough in keeping and following and obeying God's commandments. Be zealous for the Lord, even angrily zealous for the Lord, even furiously zealous for the Lord, and he was. Live a moral life, live a clean life, live a pure life, live a upright life. And with all of that, with the treasure map, is he going to find the treasure? Will he find it? Book of Galatians says no. It says this, all who rely on keeping the works of the law are under a curse. And so, later in his life, after he came to know the Lord Jesus, he would say once again in Philippians chapter 3, he said, there are many people who I've often spoken about, but now I speak about them with tears, who are enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. They glory in their shame. They think only about earthly things. And if you put it all in context, what you recognize is that St. Paul is speaking about people who think like he used to think, who think that they've got the treasure map. If I only eat a certain kind of religious diet, if I'm circumcised or I follow the ritual practices, if I live a moral and a clean and upright life, if I'm zealous for God, even to the point of anger and fury, that's going to set me up before Almighty God. That's going to make things right with the Lord. And then St. Paul says, you know, I cry about these folks. I weep about them. Because I used to be there. Because I know that their end is destruction. I know that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, you and I know the simple thinking. And thinking about these things simply, we can understand that there are many people for whom the goals in life choke out the goal of life. The goals in life crowd out the goal of life. People who so chase this present life, they never arrive at the next life. And that's true. But there's something more here. What you have that St. Paul is speaking about is a repeat of history, something that happened at the very beginning of time with our first parents, Adam and Eve. And we read from the Bible that the Lord gave them a perfect life, but they joined Satan. They joined Satan, they crossed their arms when it came to the Lord, and they said, "You're not the boss of me. You are not the boss of me. God and your goodness, that's wonderful," but they treated it with contempt and disdain, and they made themselves enemies of the Lord, and they went their own way. And the same thing happens for every person who says, "I'm a good person. I am a person who tries hard. I am very moral. I am very religious. I am zealous for the things of God, and that certainly will make me right with Almighty God." And the Lord says, "No, I don't think so, because what that does is make you an enemy of the cross of Christ. Because God made a way for you to reach everlasting life, and the way was the cross. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the way you reach the goal of life, the cross. And if you say to yourself, 'I'm going to choose another path,' you just repeat the Garden of Eden. You just repeat the fall of Satan. You put yourself in the place of honor, a place of honor that only belongs to the Lord Jesus, who alone is the Savior. You say, 'I'm going to find my own way,' and you treat the Lord in his gracious goodness with disdain and contempt. Now again, to fall into simple thinking, we all can agree that a person who has given themselves over to immorality and distorted ways of living will look at them and say, "You know, they've left God." And we can look at another person who pursues the goals of in life, but they lose their way off the path of life, and we can say, "They've left God." But what about the person who will not come to the cross at all because they're already clean? What about them? It's clear that is to be an enemy of the cross of Christ. What's the goal? What is the goal of life? To take today's lesson, it says there's a place of citizenship in the heavens awaiting us, from which also a Savior we are eagerly awaiting, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will transform the body of our lowliness like the body of his glory, according to the power that enables him to subject all things to himself. And the point being, you're not going to get there without him. You're not going to get there without the cross, because how does the Bible say it? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified only freely by his grace in Christ Jesus. We sing it in the hymn. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So then, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and my crown, in this way, stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm on the cross, my beloved. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.